College football nerds here talking Ole Miss and Baylor Sugar Bowl. Pretty interesting and fun matchup, and maybe not one we expected at the beginning of the year, but it's the one we got. We don't have like tons of opt-outs. Everybody's fired up for this game. So, Josh, we're going to talk about it. Before we do, I want to remind y'all, everybody, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. But even more importantly, we need your score in the comments so y'all can mix it up and fight with one another and help us out in the algorithm. One other way you can help us out is share this wherever you talk about football. If it's on a forum, if it's Facebook, Twitter, if you watch this and you're like, you know what, I like what these guys are talking about, share it wherever you talk about sports. All right, Josh, the interesting thing for me in this game is that we've got two quarterbacks maybe getting healthy and maybe being the best versions of themselves after having a month off. Bohannon said he's going to be playing in this game, and he was injured, banged up late in the year. And, you know, we haven't seen the full Matt Corral since maybe early in the season. He's been hobbled, and then he's been throwing to hobbled people without an offensive line because they're also hobbled. So just right out of the gate, if you were going to say who is favored most or who it benefits most for having this month off to get better coming into this matchup, are you going to say that favors Baylor more or Ole Miss more? And tell me why.
It's tough, right? Because Bohannon is going to come back. But honestly, I'm going to say Ole Miss. And if you're a Baylor fan turning your nose up at that, you need to understand the situation. I wish I had the stat in front of me, but when there was a point this year when they were playing Auburn where it was all but like 60 yards in that game receiving went to walk-ons. They were out all three starting receivers, their starting tight end, two starting offensive linemen. Matt Corral was literally playing on two sprained ankles, and they had injured running backs. I mean, they've been decimated this season. And when you look at Ole Miss is a program, they have not scored 40 points this year, despite all the Lane Kiffin hype, since the Arkansas game, middle of October. But the thing is, Matt Corral has not been healthy since the middle of October. He sprained his ankle and really couldn't run against Tennessee, and then, you know, tweaked it, and then following weeks really hurt his other one and then was really, really hobbled. They just have not been the same team. And at the end of the year, they started to show flashes of what they were supposed to be, got a little bit healthier. The numbers don't always back it up across the board, but you could see it. I think in this game, we're going to see much more of the sort of offense we were expecting to see from them all year. And I mean, give them credit, right? You go through and you have a 10-2 record, first 10 win regular season in Ole Miss history. Great year for them. But I think the amazing thing is they really did it off the defense, because their offense has been beat to hell. And I think the time off is going to potentially transform that offensive side of the ball. The team that put up 61 on Tulane, the team that put up 43 on Louisville without even really trying to begin the year, we haven't seen that team this season since. And I don't know that we'll see it completely, but I think we'll see something that's a lot more akin to it than the team, even at the end of the year when they had guys playing, virtually everyone playing for them was playing through injury. And I think they'll be a lot healthier in this game, or at least that's my expectation.
I think I agree with you, though. I do agree that Bohannon coming back is potentially a big deal, but, you know, you had some pretty good output from a backup quarterback in a few games this year. So I don't know that it's that big of a deal compared to Ole Miss, especially getting offensive line and skill players back. It's interesting to note that people like Ely, who could go pro this year, who has proven enough that they could really maybe sit out this game like a lot of other people are doing, because they've got enough tape out there and there's nothing left to prove, but they're all coming back, which says a lot in terms of mentality of this team. I think you noted that Lebby is staying to call the plays for this game. So it seems like everybody on both sides of the ball, or both of these teams, are really treating this like a game that matters, which is funny because everybody's told us that nothing outside of the playoffs matter, and I completely disagree with that notion. These are the kind of matchups that I love to watch. Hell, Josh, we were watching Tulsa and ODU earlier today, and that just because we like football. So I'm excited that we don't have opt-out city in this game. We've talked a lot about the isolation of conferences and that being a problem. And it's particularly acute this year in the Big 12 because, yes, there's the BYU game that Baylor had, but in pure P5, pure P5s, you've got the top two teams in the Big 12. Oklahoma State and Baylor played no true Power Five. And I don't really fault Baylor because I think BYU is a legitimate team and I don't think they're bad or anything like that. But what it doesn't give us is good cross-connecting data points in terms of comparisons. And if you look at the rest of the Big 12, they really struggled out of conference, including against a lot of G5 and FCS. So there's this notion that, you've got a clean record, 11 or 11 and 2. You've got, I think, 10 and 3 for Ole Miss or 10 and 2 for Ole Miss. And how do you reconcile that, Josh? And maybe this is a good time to get in the model. How do you reconcile this and compare these two teams at all in terms of a prediction or understanding what to expect in this game, given that the conferences were so isolated this year, especially in the Big 12? And maybe that's not Baylor's fault, but it does present a challenge, and I'd love for you to talk about that.
Sure. And while I'm talking about it, I'm going to challenge you to see if you dug up some stats or records of Big 12 teams. See if you can dig that up and you can walk through it because I do think it's interesting. Our model has this game dead even. It has it 28 all. Mississippi's favored by a little bit when it comes to decimal points, but 28 all. From a yardage perspective, Baylor about 5.9 yards per play to Ole Miss having 5.6. And see, Mississippi in my records, and I just think Mississippi State because it's weird to me to type in Ole Miss because or type in Mississippi instead of Ole Miss because of the way the data gets pulled in the system, and it always trips me up. Anyway, everything across the board here really suggests these are pretty evenly matched teams in a lot of ways. The one thing that's pretty different between them, Ole Miss's past offense is a good notch better than Baylor's passing offense. And then for Baylor's part, their run defense is a good bit better than Ole Miss's run defense. Now, interestingly, pass defense, Ole Miss actually rates higher in our metrics, 92% of opponent averages. Baylor's only 95%. Baylor has not done great this year defending the pass. They have been kind of dunked on a couple times. Texas Tech had 10.8 yards per attempt. TCU had 11.1. BYU had 11 yards per attempt. Now, the funny thing is they won two of those games. But several times this year, they've kind of get hit, popped. And they've had some phenomenal games where they've shut people down. I mean, Oklahoma State, they only allowed 5.6 yards per attempt. Yeah, they gave up 260, but they did it on almost 50 pass attempts. But it hasn't been a phenomenal performance from Baylor on pass D. It's been mostly rush D. And that kind of balances a lot of stuff out where Ole Miss is a more balanced team than I think people give them credit for. They've run the ball a lot more than they've thrown it this year. I'm not sure if people realize that. Last year, it was a rush offense really that made them so effective. And given, and a lot of this really comes down to injuries and perspective and all that, right? Because you've got these two teams, you haven't evenly matched up, at least in theory. But again, we've talked about the injury situation at Ole Miss. They had injuries in the offensive line. They had injuries at running back. Corral couldn't really run the way they wanted to. And I think it took a lot of what they wanted to do in the run game out because you can't run the zone read because Corral's not a threat to keep it. The interior rush or interior blocking, run blocking wasn't as good. And it took away certain components of the game, not to mention running backs were hobbled. That might come into play a little bit more. But in general, I think your take on this game comes down to the fact that our model is comparing you against the teams you did, how they did against everyone else. And the problem for the Big 12 is it's how you did against the Big 12 teams, and it's also how the Big 12 teams did, by and large, only against other Big 12 teams. And so when we talk about isolation, that's the problem. I mean, we're not saying you necessarily did poorly, beating a highly ranked BYU team, though the UAB game kind of, I don't know if it rightly or wrongly puts a stain on that. You know, Boise was a big matchup for Oklahoma State. You know, Oklahoma goes out and they play a close game against Nebraska. They don't look great against Tulane. I mean, or Tulane, Tulsa. Everything is kind of in this weird place. But most importantly, we didn't have a ton of marquee games to sort of set a baseline. And every model, every computer has to have some way of judging one conference to another. It doesn't have eyeballs. It can't look and say this team is faster. What it look at is do your performance, and it can say you did X well against team B. Team B in their conference did Y well, and so it kind of relates you based on that. Our model is a little less geared towards that. We're very conscious of it. But in my mind, I'm still bothered by things like Arkansas running Texas out of the building, and Texas being a team that, yeah, they had a bad record, but were generally competitive, but look just totally overmatched for the most part against Arkansas. And so, I mean, I don't know. Me personally, I have a hard time taking it at face value that these two conferences are even. And now usually when I say that, I get proven wrong, but sometimes I'm not. And this year, just like a couple years ago, I talked about they didn't have a single, I think it was a single win over a team with a winning record out of conference, a single P5 with a win over a winning record. And then they just had a horrible bowl slate when everyone was looking at the ACC. I really worry the Big 12 as a conference, and I'm sorry Big 12 fans are all mad at me right now. Man, I got to say, I've seen a lot of the same warning signs this year where they're out of conference schedule and how that's really not showing up in the model.
Yeah, and there's this notion of like how we predict things or how we look at things versus how things ultimately end up. You know, I said that Alabama could win against Georgia, but we're predicting Georgia to win because there's nothing that Alabama has shown that would say that they're going to beat Georgia. And the Big 12 this year is the same thing. They only played 8 Power 5 teams out of conference. Only played 8. 2 of those had a winning record. So they played the entire Big 12, played 2 Power 5 teams with a winning record. They lost both of them by double digits, both of those games. And so at some point, at least in terms of predicting things, and I want to give this caveat because like I always say this, 2018 Clemson played a bunch of nobodies. They played absolutely nobodies and just ran through the playoffs. They just murdered Alabama. It was no problem. So you can play a weak schedule and still be a really good team. So that's not necessarily Baylor's fault that the rest of the Big 12 couldn't beat anybody. But in terms of modeling and understanding how good you are amongst the teams that you played, like your runner-up in the Big 12 played Missouri State, Tulsa, and Boise out of conference. They beat Missouri State by 1 score, Tulsa by 5, Boise by 1 point. You know, that's the runner-up in the Big 12 this year. So, yeah, it looks great when you circle the wagons in conference and you play other Big 12 teams who haven't played anybody. Somebody's got to win that game. To Baylor's credit, they won 11 games this year. They found ways to win against, I think Oklahoma State is a good, not great team. They found a way to win that game without their starting quarterback. These are all good things in terms of finding ways to win. Doesn't necessarily impart any knowledge or predictability on how they're going to play against Ole Miss. And to your point that you've been the banging the drum all year, that Arkansas game has to mean something. Texas lost to the top 3 teams in the Big 12 by 1 score each. They were dragged by the one good team they played out of conference. So I don't want to belabor this point too much, but that's just kind of our thought is like, how do we do anything with the Big 12 this year? And like you said, we always get proven wrong at the end of this because we die on these hills and then we are proven wrong. And we could be proven wrong in this game. But in terms of looking at matchups, like put the out of conference stuff aside, put the we don't know stuff aside, in terms of just what you've seen from Baylor this year, if we're going to talk about what might give Ole Miss problems, because we know about this offense and we know about them getting healthy and all that, what is something Baylor does that you really might be concerned if you're an Ole Miss fan going into this game?
I think the thing that Baylor does that's concerning is they run the ball a lot. I mean, when Abram Smith and Greg Bohannon are going, they can mount up a lot of carries on a football team. And, You know, there's games where they've hit 40 to 50 plays on the ground at a high clip. BYU, 47 carries, 6.4 per. Oklahoma, 47 carries, 6.3 per. And the problem for Ole Miss is they do run this 3-3-5, which is a little light in the front. Not uncommon in the Big 12, so it's not like a shock for them. But they have struggled at times with teams that run the ball a lot. Alabama did it to them in particular early in the year. And they short up a lot of stuff. I mean, Ole Miss has some transfers. They got Campbell at linebacker, who's a really good guy. But they still, they're light. And they can get moved on. And, you know, like, you can end up in games that are kind of shootouts just because offensively, you know, in the Arkansas game was a good example. You can wear on Ole Miss. And I think that takes a toll on them. So the biggest thing that I think Baylor has an advantage with is over the course of this game, if Bohannon is truly healthy and they're willing to run him, that's a big if. I think it does give him a little bit of an advantage because they may be able to just continually keep the sticks and like moving, move the ball up the field and score. And if they're moving the chains a lot, I think Ole Miss's defense could kind of give out. But the flip side that I think is the hard part to predict, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get my score prediction. I think we're about at this point. I have this game at 34-24 game Ole Miss. And for me, Ole Miss was the one team, and I had told this to you, and you can back me up when you get on, and believe it or not, we really don't lie to you guys when we do these previews. Ole Miss was the one team I said you do not want to draw in the postseason. Because they were better than they looked all year. And if you draw too many conclusions, you don't understand how banged up they were, how much healthier they're going to be at the end of the year, and I felt like how underrated they were. And I feel like Ole Miss's offense is going to be a lot better in this game than they have been since mid-October. But the question really in my mind is, how good is Baylor defensively? Are they able to get disruption against Ole Miss like they've been able to get at certain times this season? And how much can you hold them in check? Now, I don't think they will, and I think this game is a little more lopsided than even Vegas thinks, which I find interesting. But, you know, you never know. I find it incredibly hard to judge this matchup. And honestly, I'm really curious to hear your pick and your thoughts, because I feel like I'm sort of scrambling in the dark to figure this out myself.
I think this could go a couple of different ways, but what I keep looking at when I see Baylor is I see Texas A&M. I see a solid defense, a solid team that can stub their toe offensively enough that when you're facing a team that is an elite offense, they're going to punish you for it. Maybe not every time, but at some point that dam is going to break. And so I think that Baylor is a team that will score some points in this game, but I also think they're going to bog down some. And that's what happened to Texas A&M. Texas A&M could never really get going offensively, and it gave Ole Miss enough opportunity for Ely to bust a 53-yard run or for, you know, Crow to do enough offensively to score some points. I don't think that if Baylor had a little more offense, I think that that would limit the pressure that their defense is going to take from Ole Miss's offense. But because of that, I do think that Ole Miss wins the game. I don't think Ole Miss covers, though. I think that this is a feel-each-other-out kind of game, sort of like Alabama-Cincinnati in that regard. And I'm really stuck on this feeling that until Kiffin proves otherwise, he's going to make enough boneheaded fourth-down decisions to cost them 6 to 10 points. He did it again against A&M. That's a perfect example. They could have won that game going away, and because he early made some bad decisions, it cost them some points. So I've got 31-24. I would not be surprised to see Ole Miss run away with this game, but I also would not be surprised to see Ole Miss lose this game, because while I see Baylor as Texas A&M, they could also be Arkansas. And you talked about running Bohannon, if they're committed to running Bohannon. And Arkansas had a lot of tools offensively that exploited that 3-3-5. And they were this close to winning that game, right? And they put up buckets of points. And I think Baylor's better defensively than Arkansas. The saving grace for Ole Miss in that game was they were able to score just a little bit more and just rain down points every time they needed it. I don't think they're going to be able to do that against Baylor. So if Baylor offensively looks anything like Arkansas did and can exploit that defense in any way, the way they did, Baylor's going to win this game. But I've got 31-24. This is a tough game for me to predict. As we close this out, though, Josh, maybe it's Bohannon saying that he's going to be able to play. But in general, is it interesting to you that I think Ole Miss opened as a three-point favorite and now it's moved to Baylor laying one and a half? Like, is the movement in this line indicative of kind of the same kind of not knowing how to peg this game that we're having?
Yeah, I think so. The lines move back and forth. I'm sure there was something to the fact that people didn't know initially whether Matt Corral would opt out or not. Looks at this point like all of Ole Miss's key players are probably going to play as of the time we're recording this. But you don't know, and that's why the line's moving a lot. I really think of all the major games that I've looked at or I'm interested in, this is the one that I feel like I have the least feel on it. And I feel like the line is close just because I don't even think Vegas feels like they have a feel. I don't think the public does. And sometimes Vegas is just probably happy to have even money on either side because they don't know what the way it's going to go. And, you know, I think that's by and large where Vegas's goal is. And then there's other times where, you know, they entice you to pick the one that looks like the obvious team to win, and then everybody takes a bath. That's happened a couple times this year, UCLA LSU, which I picked UCLA to win. And then Georgia Alabama, where I did that. I did a Twitter space with Josh Pate, and we were basically all talking about the fact that that game sure felt like a trap pad at the end of the week. This one, I think, is just a total crapshoot. I don't think anyone knows. I think we're going to know something at the end of this game. I think Texas Tech, Mississippi State's going to be telling. But right now, I don't think anybody has a good feel. I don't think we really have a good way to know how these teams match up. And I think it's going to be really fascinating to watch. This is one that I'm almost certainly going to be tuning into, and I'm excited to watch it.
All right, that's it for us, Ole Miss and Baylor. Let us know in the comments what you think this score is going to be. And obviously, we're doing other previews. We've got Utah and Ohio State that we're going to do for the Rose Bowl, and we've done the two playoff games. So keep an eye out for those. If you like what you heard so far here and you've already shared us somewhere and you want some more of us, those things will be out there. And the podcast links are also in the description if you want to listen and not watch. Thanks so much, y'all. Have a great bowl season, and God bless.